Good afternoon. It's really good to see you all here today. I hope you've been enjoying looking at all those wonderful photos of Peter's life. I understand there are some photos of him and his two brothers. They were triplets, if you weren't aware. Where not even Sheila is sure which one is Peter. So if you were wondering, you weren't doing so badly after all. But I'd like to welcome you all here today on behalf of Sheila and the family, and to thank you for the respect that you're showing to Peter through being here, and for the support you are showing and have shown to the family in recent days. I'd like to also welcome you on behalf of Haywards Heath Baptist Church, where Peter and Sheila have been members virtually from the time when the church was founded around 40 years ago. And we're very grateful today to Cookfield Baptist Church for welcoming us into their building. Some of us who are at the graveside are a bit worried we might have brought some mud in, but we hope you'll forgive us, Cookfield Baptist Church. Our own building is on the point of being demolished and rebuilt, a project which Peter most enthusiastically supported and has done for many years. And we're so sad that he didn't live to see the building completed. The Bible comforts us with these words. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We are here in the presence of God. At every turn, life links us to God, and when we die, we come face to face with him. In life or death, we're in the hands of the Lord. Christ lived and died and rose again to establish his lordship over death and life. And we're here to do a number of things today. We're here to honour Peter, who has died. We're here to listen again to some of the great words of the Christian faith, which was Peter's faith. We're here to remember and in gratitude to give thanks and to celebrate Peter's life. We're here to renew our trust in God, who has said, I will not fail you or desert you. And we're here to ask God to bring comfort to those who are in pain at the loss of Peter. Let's pray. Teach us, O Father, to trust you with life and with death, and with the life and death of those that are dearer to us than our own lives. Teach us stillness and confident peace in your perfect will, deep calm of soul and contentment in what you will do with the lives you have given. Teach us to wait and be still, to rest in you, to know that all life and life eternal is in your hands. You love Peter with a love far surpassing our own. Help us to trust in your love. There we will be still and trust in you. Amen. Many of us will know that Peter had the extraordinary gift of being able to speak to anybody. Not only that, he had the extraordinary gift of being able to turn almost any conversation naturally onto the subject of Jesus Christ, whom Peter had known since childhood as his Saviour and his Lord. Peter knew that there is nothing and nobody worth building our lives upon except for Christ. And in our first hymn, we have the opportunity to declare together what Peter himself always readily declared. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Please stand if you're able and let's sing together.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What might I love?
please do take a seat. And now a number of people are going to come and speak to us on behalf of the family. So Neil will start, and then Jill is going to speak on behalf of the grandchildren, and then Mark will bring us a reading. So thank you, Neil.
Dad always told me to take a deep breath before we speak in public. Peter Humphrey, Dad. Born 26th of March 1934, he was premature and the first of triplets. His parents went from a family of two to five children in an instant, their birth making national newspapers and causing our grandfather to faint in the street. I wish I could say my dad was unique, but he wasn't, being an identical triplet. He was unique, though, as a husband, a father of five, a grandpa to 13, and a great-grandpa to one. Dad was always there smiling and being positive in every adverse situation, be it work, play or health. He was positive, being a man of faith who relied on God, saying God will provide, which he certainly did, and Dad never wavered. He showed his positivity in all the roles he played throughout his life. Master butcher, a business partner and shopkeeper. As a Christian, a church member, a deacon, an elder. He was a church secretary, a treasurer and evangelist. A befriender of people, a Gideon and a Bible distributor. He helped build South Crawley, now Greenfields Baptist Church in Tilgate. He was chairman of the local bus company and a parish councillor. He always led a busy life, but I never heard him complain. As a father, he set a simple example with a faith in Jesus and a hope set on the future. I wouldn't want to misrepresent him as perfect, though, but his heart was always in the right place. He may have dropped glass bowls on heads, but I survived. lost us on the M1 or at the seaside. Or forgotten to collect us from school when Mum asked him to. But we're all still here. We had many adventures and laughs, whether it was 3-point turns on family caravan holidays in France, which meant unhitch, retreat and push the caravan up a road with amazed French people all around. To taming a wild pony that he'd brought home from the market for Mandy and being dragged across a field. To towing a caravan without a clutch. To killing a rat with a rake and half the plants in the garden at the same time. To getting stung by wasps while evicting a hive from an apple tree. Or blowing himself up while lighting the Rayburn gas cooker. He also demonstrated a great ability to get dessert with the daily question, "What's for after, Sheila?" Then asking her to repeat all that was on offer before picking the first one. Dad was always open to a challenge. He taught all five of us to drive, say no more, to say grace before a meal, to not panic and to figure things out. However, his ability to cause a blue screen of death on the PC and not be able to print from his beloved iPad showed technology did seem beyond him, but he still tried. He showed us that most things could be overcome, and if you see something that needs to be done, to have a go at doing it and not rely on others. One theme or word from the sympathy cards we have received that has been that he always made everyone feel so welcome, at ease and encouraged. I watched him do this in all aspects of his life. Dad was an encourager, always telling us to brush ourselves off and go again. He took great interest in our successes and failures, but was always there for help and advice. He was always there for a chat, normally about the weather, which he noted in his diary every day. The news, and in my case, the football the night before. My morning chats with him whilst I make my cup of tea will be missed. Dad cared for us all in so many ways. Not one for big gestures. It was the little things he did, from giving us all lifts to everywhere. School, college, work, hospital appointments, nights out, the station, youth meetings and outings. Little things that showed he cared, like even spitting on a handkerchief and cleaning our car headlights before he said goodbye to us whenever we visited home. I'm not sure, but I like to think he liked to ensure that we could always see our way through life as he taught us God's ways. He played the best support role in all of our lives with constant love, prayers and support. Lately, his biggest focus was on his grandchildren. He taught us all how to pray, read the Bible and live in faith. I'm sure he would be disappointed that he left before the second coming and that he didn't get to see the new Haywards Heath Baptist Church built. Dad was one of the biggest guiding lights on how to get to heaven, and I know you're waiting there for us all. And in answer to your request to Mum on the Saturday before you died, yes, Dad, I taxed the bus.
So a number of the grandchildren wish to share a memory of Grandpa with you, and it's my honour to read them out. Grandpa. When I think of Grandpa, I picture him looking out over the top of his glasses with a mischievous twinkle in his eye. Grandpa loved his tea and biscuits, and it always made me smile when he would take a biscuit from the barrel, pretending he was being naughty and stealing it before Grandma noticed. And when he was offered sugar with his tea, he would always say, "No, thank you, I'm sweet enough." I remember a favourite story of Grandpa's from when he was a small child. Sundays were religiously observed in his house as a strict day of rest. However, this did not translate well to three little boys. Grandpa and his triplet brothers, John and David, were happily playing with their toy blocks when their dad suddenly walked in. "What do you think you are doing?" boomed their father. Quick as a flash, Grandpa piped up, "We are building a church, Daddy." Or at least that's how the story went. Grandpa, thank you always for sharing God's word and building his church here. Now you're home with your brothers. I'm sure you're checking the rooms Jesus prepared in heaven for all of us and causing a lot of mischief. Dear Grandpa, being the youngest of all the grandchildren, I don't have as many memories as the other grandchildren. I still have a lot of memories, but some of them are when you and Grandma have come down to my house and when I've stayed at yours. My best memory was probably when I went on a canal boat with you and Grandma and Joe, Livy and Uncle Jonathan, or when we all stayed together in Lamorna. I thought it was quite funny when you had cornflakes every time for breakfast and supper. Also, when you have to have the green counters whenever we played a board game, sequence or sorry. Goodbye. We'll remember you as a happy, funny, joyful person. Lots of love. Joel Humphrey, aged 11 and two-thirds. And for those who don't know, green is a bit of a colour theme you might see because if the black and white photos had been in colour, we'd have all been able to spot Peter because green was the colour that he used to wear. Going on. There was one day at the beach in Shoreham where with my sisters, we were having a family picnic with Grandma and Grandpa. I was searching for interesting pebbles and I would take them back to Grandpa as he was trying to have his afternoon nap. But he would always graciously open an eye and say, "What a beautiful pebble." Then I tumbled down the stony beach, cutting open my hand. Grandpa was there, tissue at the ready, drying my tears and softly bandaging me up. A kiss on the head, a pat on the back. "There you go, my lovely, and all is well again." I always remember the endless games of Uno till late at night. I remember laughing at the one person who will always be miles of points behind. And every time when we were all together waiting all day until it was time to play millions of rounds of Uno or Phase 10. I remember laughing at Grandpa because you never knew if he would be beating us all or ages behind us. And then you'll hear him say, "I've won," and none of us saw it coming. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient and bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. I believe you led your life this way on a daily basis, and all I can do is aspire to your memory. You taught me a lot, Grandpa. You will always be a true inspiration to me. You were always happy to see me and always wanted to know how my life was going. You showed genuine kindness to everyone, and I can't remember ever seeing you angry or unhappy, even when you were going through the most difficult times. I hope I can show some of the same strength in my life and make you proud of me. You were a champion in sharing the gospel, a persistent pursuer of Jesus Christ, a faithful servant in the tasks ordained to you. You lived out grace. Your love showed us God's love and gave us a glimpse of heaven. Thank you for steering the canal boat in the right direction when we couldn't, for helping me when I was losing a game of Scrabble, and for telling me of the wonders you were seeing God doing in people's lives. I hope to see the world one day through your eyes, where every day is a decision to trust Jesus, an opportunity to tell the Amazon delivery man of the gospel, and for noticing the glory of God on a Cornish beach. And lastly, a short poem. My fondest memories of Grandpa. I love how in the Baptist church you knew all the congregation, but then again you are a Humphrey and they count as half the nation. I love that hospital Christmas day when a nurse you did meet. She made you giggle happily, complimenting your most beautiful feet. I love how fun you thought it that I worked in a butcher's shop. You were the very best butcher that ever learnt to chop. I love how you trusted Jesus and wanted us to too. You used to pray for us each day, and for that we say thank you. I love it when you saw us and called us all lovey. I'm sure we'll hear you say that again when we're with you in glory.
Okay. Thank you on behalf of Mum and the rest of the family for being here today. We've had a wonderful time up in the, or as best as it could possibly be, with the weather and the mud. But to say goodbye to Dad was fantastic under those trees and the situation there. You saw a few pictures up there. I'm sorry, this is a bit unrehearsed. And I was asked to write something down if I was going to say something, but I apologise.
You saw some pictures.
Oh, sorry, can you not hear me? You saw some pictures up there. They came into the world as Peter, David and John. And they left as John, David and Peter. Here we have the end of the Humphrey triplets, but going on to something new where they'll be together again, with the place they wanted to be. I worked with every single one of them throughout my career. Firstly, Dad showing me how to prepare things for the shop window. You saw the shop window there with the two triple pens of sheep prepared, shown on the Easter display in the shop. I worked with David. He showed me how to drive my first combine. And he called me a cow with a musket because I couldn't keep it in a straight line. I worked with John, and John, I did actually more years with John in a working time than any other of the boys, but he called me lovey. When I walked into the milking parlour one day, and he said, "Hi, lovey." I said, "Yeah, yeah, because you get engrossed when you're milking cows." But they taught us lots of other things as well, and they were of one mind in family life, in the love that they gave to their children, and they gave to all of us. And right, I've got a reading for you now which has been prepared, and luckily it's on big paper, so I didn't need to borrow my wife's glasses with pink and black and stuff. So, but it comes from the book of Colossians. And it goes like this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seating at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against somebody. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Shall we pray briefly? God, our Father, we thank you that you have made each of us in your own image and have given us gifts and talents with which to serve you. We thank you now for Peter, for his character and personality, his friendliness and enthusiasm, his love and his laughter, his kindness and his loyalty. We thank you for the years that we shared with him and for the good we saw in him. We thank you for the lives that his life has touched. Amen. Life was not always easy for Peter, as has already been mentioned. In past years, he experienced business worries, and more recently, he faced a number of serious health issues. Peter knew that it was not safe to build life on the foundations of physical health or material wealth. His name, Peter, means rock, but he also knew that relying on himself was not the answer either. There is only one place which is always safe. However tough things we get, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Let's stand and sing together this great song.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. High and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Of his covenant, his blood,
seated. We're going to hear some more tributes now, firstly from Indenia on behalf of the Gideons, and then Nigel Tarr from the Handcross District Community Bus, and then Graham Watts, who was a minister of Haywards Heath Baptist Church and a great friend of Peter, will lead us in our prayers. So thank you, Ian.
Well, we've already heard some moving and heartfelt tributes this afternoon, and you'll have noticed a theme running through them all. As chairman of the local branch of Gideon's International, I'm honoured to bring this brief tribute to one of the most committed and long-serving members of our local branch. Peter was a true man of God. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. His faith motivated all that he said and did. Above all, he was a man of the book. He just loved this book. He loved to share the good news of which the Bible speaks. Peter loved to talk of and introduce others to the wonderful Saviour and friend that he had come to know personally through the pages of the Bible. The words of the Bible were to him what the psalmist described as sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. Peter was a well-known local preacher and always ready to share some insight or thought from the Word of God. It was not surprising then that Peter sought every opportunity of making the Bible ever more widely available. He did this perhaps most effectively through his membership of the Gideons, which he joined with Sheila in January 1972, because he was absolutely convinced that God's word was the answer to the needs and longing of every individual. Through his ministry in the Gideons, he would have the privilege of giving out copies of the Bible, the most precious gift this world affords. Peter was never more happy than when he had the opportunity of placing the New Testament in the hands of schoolchildren, going into hotels and hospitals with Bibles, or passing a copy of the New Testament to some inquiring or lonely or desperate soul. He served the Lord and the local Gideon group with distinction, serving as chairman and in all the various offices within the branch through over 45 years of his membership. First in the North Sussex branch and then in Mid-Sussex. We, as his fellow workers, will greatly miss Peter's gracious, godly manner and his earnest desire to move mission forward, particularly in the Gideon ministry. The words of St. Paul are so true of Peter Humphrey. He could with conviction say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is before me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his glorious appearing." On behalf of Peter, and because I know it would be his fervent wish, I have New Testaments for anyone here this afternoon who would like to know more of the unique claims of Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, who Peter loved and served so faithfully. The only answer to the deepest needs of us all is to be found in this book, and it would greatly honour Peter's memory, as it was his greatest desire, that any here today would promise for the first time to take and read the Bible and find for themselves just how good God is. There's a box of New Testaments at the back of the chapel, and you're warmly invited to take a personal copy. Those who look to the Lord, who put their trust, their hope in him, will never be disappointed.